I think this is the first time we've actually recorded at, like, night.
Yeah. We've been pretty good about trying to be early.
Yeah, I think it's gonna make it spookier, but... And I'm home alone right now. I had to do this home alone. I researched for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then it was interrupted by my psychiatrist appointment. And then I proceeded to just continue. I don't know, my ADD was, like, not cooperating in the best way today. Like, it just wasn't existing. And I was really here for it, so...
That was me yesterday when I freaking sat down to get all my information. I was like, okay, great. And I was like, click, 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 click. And then my friends were like, oh, do you want to play Among Us? And I was like, I'm only going to play a few games. I played 3 games for maybe like half an hour. And then my friend Bree called me and then it was midnight. And then I needed to go take a shower. And I was like, this isn't happening tonight. And then
I'm just glad I felt better to like be able to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Me too. I'm glad that one of us is responsible, and it's not me.
You know, I figured out the reason my mic level wouldn't turn up is because I was touching my headphone volume and not the gain. Such a long day. Guys, my brain fog is so bad because I've been so sick. Story time. Justin brought home a cold from work. That's the end of the story.
The end. Justin made you sick.
So yeah, welcome back, I guess.
Welcome!
By the time this comes out, I will be leaving for New York in 35 hours.
Yes, you will!
Because I'm
going
to go see Addie. Woohoo!
Yes, she is! I'm so excited! I've been telling, like, everyone around me. I'm like, okay, Audrey's coming. Just to make sure, you know, everyone knows. I'm like, Audrey's coming. She's going to be staying with us for a week. I will no longer be here. I will only be Audrey's and blah, blah, blah. But I told my dad today, right?
Yep.
Quick story time.
No, please, going on please, please, please.
So I told my dad that you were coming. And of course, you know, he was like, he like gave me this look. I was like, Audrey, the girl that I went to go visit in New Hampshire. And he was like, oh, yeah, right. Even though he's literally talked to you and I talk about you all the time.
That's so
he
good.
Still didn't remember. And so he was like, oh, why don't we like rearrange like where everyone's sleeping in the house so that way like you could have the downstairs. And I was like, no, she's staying in my room with me. And he was like, no, like, you don't want her to have, like, her own space. I was like, no, like, we cannot be separated from each other.
No, we can't.
Like,
we're so bad.
Here,
we're so bad.
We're going to be attached at the hip, and I cannot bear to not sit next to her for an entire night.
It's like the cell reproduction cycle, and then it's like that part where they start to separate,
yeah.
But then it just stops there.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
two
yeah.
cells.
But it starts with an M, I'm pretty sure, when, like... When the, like, that kind of pinching thing.
Metaphase
like,
or something
to...
or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. And then that's, but then we just never separate. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we're like the opposite. Once we come, it's the cell reproduction in reverse. Once we come together, we are one.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Okay.
I'm just, not me Googling to make sure that that was right.
What,
yeah,
metaphase?
I think, yeah. Okay, no, it would be. Telophase.
Okay.
Telophase is when they like. Metaphase is when all the chromosomes line up in the middle. And then telophase is when they start to like detach. And then cytokinesis is when that little pinching thing happens. So I need to go back to biology class.
It's okay. Good thing you're starting back up in January.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've been violently ill. And Addie was like, I'll do the research this week. And then, no, don't, like, make that face, because I'm just really glad that I was feeling better to, like, take that weight off her shoulders, because I was so sick that I had such bad brain fog, like, I could not retain a thing, I was having fever dreams left and right, and, like, she had to drive into the city the other day, and she was doing so much, and, like, I felt bad about it, and so I'm just glad I was feeling better today to be able to, like, let you nap.
Yeah, but, like... Yeah, I guess. Like, I'm also glad you're feeling better just for you, like, for the sake of you feeling better.
True.
Because I know that how bad you were feeling.
Well,
because
then
also,
I wouldn't be able
like,
to come to New York if I wasn't.
Well,
kind of.
I don't have any ulterior motives.
Bullshit.
But I felt bad because I, like, when I say I'm going to do something, I execute it. And, like, today was not the day for executing things. And so I was texting Audrey. I was like, yeah, like last night I was like, yeah, I'm going to get the research done. I opened up my laptop, had like 8 tabs open and was like, my brain was like, not today, bitch. And I was like, all right. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, how about today, brain? And she was like, who do you think I am?
It's okay. I had the brain cell today. I think that's why. I think you had the brain cell while I was sick. And then she got so stressed out being in one place for so long.
Oh my God. Wait, no, that makes so much sense, right? Though, because while you were sick, I was so productive.
Right. And then I was super productive today. Somewhat, and then
sat on my ass.
Well, because once you weren't productive yesterday was when I started like doing all my dishes and my cleaning. Why are we like this?
Oh my, I feel like it would be really cool to get a study done between us on
like flowers for us. Algernon. Wait, no, that's actually not even
that's like the
mouse
and the, yeah.
And the guy who's dumber than the mouse is smarter than him. I don't know. I read that in like 8th grade. I don't care.
Anyway, I
should probably just crack into the story. I'm like kind of avoiding it, but I know I shouldn't be. Specifically because Michael Extreme recommended it to me months ago. I'm going to move my mic real quick. Hold on. We need that waiting room music right about now.
Now you don't even have to find any royalty-free music.
Thank you so much for your service,
You're
Addie.
You're welcome.
I'm not in my usual space, because, like...
Yeah, I see you're in the living room.
This is a little more comfortable. Well, because I usually record... Because my side of the bed, like, the dresser's too high, so I can't sit in bed and, like, talk into the mic. And I usually use Justin's side of the bed and use his bedside table as my recording thing. But he's coming home soon, and I know he's going to want to sit in bed. So I was like, I'm going to sit on the floor in the living room and put my mic on the coffee table. But that's just, like, a little uncomfy.
You got to, why don't you, know you just get a pillow and put it behind you?
I am sitting on two pillows. Actually, I think I figured out a solution. Hold on. I'm going to need that music again, Addie.
Oh, let's jazz it up. Oh,
got it.
Okay, great.
That was heinous, that little jazz piece you did there.
It wasn't
okay,
jazz.
I forgot my, like, the coffee table is a piano bench, and so I just lifted the front up and placed the mic inside of it.
Oh, that works, though.
How about we don't do that noise?
Which one?
The one that my laptop just made against my mic.
Oh.
All of them that I just made.
I feel like every time I laugh, I expel so much air, and it's just like...
Get out of here, weirdo. I hate myself.
Sorry. No, like, hiding any noise that I make now.
I think the issue right now is that it's very late.
True.
For us to be, like, attentive adults.
Yeah. So. I don't even know what an adult is. I know an adult. Wait, no, what is it that Jean says? I know an adult.
Yep, I know an adult. Okay, I'm gonna... Okay, Michael Extreme. I need to get back to, like, actually talking about this. We're 11 minutes in. I hate us. Okay. So, yeah, Michael recommended this to me, like, in the first email he had ever sent me. Paisley's being a menace, so if you hear sniffing in my mic, I'm so sorry. So he sent this to me, I want to say, like, 2 months ago. It was around the same week that Raya did the LaLaurie Mansion episode with me. And I remember he sent that to me, like, the day before she came. So it was around that time. But yeah, he sent this to me, and I was going to do it. And then I was looking into it, and I was like, this is something I need to converse with somebody. And also, it's a really big case. And so, unfortunately, you guys are going to have to wait a week to hear the entire thing, because it's split into two parts. But for Patreon donors... You will be getting both episodes as soon as they are edited. So you will get part one and part two within a week. And what else do we add to Patreon? All of our show notes are up there, or at least all of my notes are up there. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was something else that I wanted to, like, say about Patreon? Anyway, oh yeah, my friend Ken's. I love them, and they are our one and only Patreon donor. And Ken's, I just love you, and I wanted to say that. So
thank you, Ken's.
Yes, they are so funny and cute and adorable, and I love them. And yeah, it means a lot to me that they helped us out. So yeah, I will get into this. It is the case of the baseline killer, baseline rapist. I'm just calling him a piece of shit for the sake of everything. Because it's really just like awful. And I think what I wanted to do, because one of the main reasons I started this podcast was because I really wanted to, what's the word? Kind of like tell the victim stories, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I haven't been doing a really, really good job at that. And so I wanted to start my episodes, at least starting out with the victims, what they went through. And I try to find as much as possible about them. But the issue is that people are more interested in the murderer than they are the victims. And it's, you know, it's really frustrating. So I did 5 hours of digging for this case, and I'm really hoping that, you know, I at least have enough of the victims to give you guys an idea of who they were. So, the first victims, on August 6th, trigger warning, guys. Sorry, I forgot to warn you. This is awful. This is really bad. On August 6th, 2005, three teenage girls were approached by a man saying he just robbed a bank and he needed directions so his friend could give him a ride. At gunpoint, the man then ordered the girls behind a church where he sexually assaulted two of them before wiping them off with a towel and fleeing the scene.
Oh, man.
And they were, like, young. And a lot of these had names in the court transcripts, but they weren't in actual public articles, so I didn't want to use people's names just for privacy reasons. A lot of them were really young girls. I just didn't want to expose anybody to anything, you know what I mean?
What was the year again?
This was 2005 in Arizona.
Oh my god, so like not even that long ago.
It was not that long ago. And that's another reason I didn't want to do this, is because it's like, oh, it's so close.
Yeah.
So close. And Mike is from the area, so he was kind of like around when it was happening. Wow. And yeah. But I like older cases. I don't like them. They're still horrible, but I'd rather do older cases because it's like, this was so much longer ago. It feels so much less close to home. Mm-hmm. But here we are in 2005. Lovely. On August 14th, another unnamed victim was sexually assaulted and robbed. On September 8th, 19-year-old awful. 19-year-old Georgia Thompson, she also went by Joey, she was found dead around 1 a.m. outside of her apartment in Tempe, Arizona.
She was so young.
She was very, very young. She had been shot in the head, and when police arrived on the scene, a neighbor told them that she had heard a woman scream, "Leave me alone," followed by the gunshot.
Wow.
The media is a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I wrote that in my notes. So here's a quote from her obituary that shows who she really was before I kind of jump into what the media said about her. Mm-hmm. Georgia was the sixth of nine children. She strove to and achieved much. As a youngster, she exceeded available materials in her church Awana program. While attending school at Lakeland in Rathdrum, she participated on the track team and in drama.
Wow.
While at Post Falls High School, she maintained honor roll marks and graduated through the Job Corps program in Nampa, Idaho. Georgia was a member of Post Falls Baptist Church and had worked as a volunteer with the Post Falls Oasis program. Active and energetic, she had aspirations of attending law school in Arizona.
Wow. She did a lot. So, she was a jack of all trades.
She was. Big dreams, you know, very like, I don't know, just something so heartbreaking about like reading that and knowing what happened to her and knowing what the media is like saying about her really fucking breaks my heart. So Georgia, as I said, she was murdered in September, so school probably had just started for her, and she'd only moved to Arizona 8 weeks before she was murdered.
Wow, so she was real
new. So she had moved there just for school. She didn't have really any friends that knew her, nothing of the sort.
Yeah.
At the time of her death, she was working at Hooters as a waitress and at a topless bar called Skins. It's important to remember that law school is expensive as hell, and working jobs like this has absolutely nothing to do with someone's character. Mm-hmm. Just want to remind y'all of that. Hours before her death, Georgia was seen at a bar called Acme Roadhouse with a coworker. Oh, that's the end of the sentence. With a coworker, sorry. The two women carpooled to work, so after work, Georgia was dropped back off at Acme to pick up her car. 45 minutes later, her body was reported being found in the parking lot at her apartment, which was only a 15-minute drive from the Acme Roadhouse. There was no evidence that Georgia had been robbed or sexually assaulted, so there's no, like, clear motive to why she was murdered. Her duffel bag, shopping bag, and car keys all remained with her fully clothed body. Her father allegedly told the Arizona Republic that she left Idaho with dreams of becoming a model and that her family was unhappy with the life she had chosen. Which does not sound anything like the obituary that I just read.
No. Very two different dreams there.
Right. Like, it seems very fabricated, like, maybe she wanted to model on the side or something.
Yeah.
But jobs like that make you a lot of money. Law school is not cheap.
Right. Right.
Not cheap. And it's like,
and I mean, she was a very smart girl. Not that
she's very, very smart.
Not that, like, people who want to model are not smart. That's not what I'm saying at all.
No,
but,
of
like,
course.
It would make sense for her to want to pursue an education and to be a lawyer.
Of course. And yeah, she was just like a good person overall, and she was so beautiful too. I just, like, I don't know. That it just pissed me off, like, what they said about her in that, like, in just other articles and what, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very fabricated and very, like, almost as if they're suggesting that she asked for it.
Mm.
Like, literally the first mention in all of these is that she worked at a topless bar.
Right.
And it's like, you can't use that to say that someone was asking to get murdered, especially, I mean, you shouldn't use it anyway, but especially if they weren't sexually assaulted.
Right.
It makes no fucking sense. So, moving on from that, in December of that year, December 2005, 33-year-old James Dwayne Mullins was in jail for a robbery in Kentucky when he confessed to Georgia's murder. He gave no motive and few details, but he was extradited to Arizona within the next week. And that's that on that.
Okay.
So that's, you know, he confessed, that's solved. Out of the way. Not out of the way, but yeah. On September 15th, another unnamed victim was sexually assaulted. On September 20th, two unnamed sisters, one whom was pregnant, were sexually assaulted. The perpetrator rushed towards the sisters with a pistol, forcing them into bushes, pointing the gun at the older sisters. Forcing them into bushes. He then forced them both to take off their clothes and raped the younger sister while pointing the gun at the older sister's pregnant abdomen.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting human being.
Yeah. They were instructed not to look at the man's face during the assault. He wore a condom and rubbed dirt onto one of the sisters to get rid of his saliva. The younger sister later testified, "I wanted to get up, but I thought if I got up, he would hurt my sister." It's like very Sylvia Likens.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
On September 28th, around 8 p.m., three women were robbed at gunpoint at the drive-thru they were working at. The women ran into the other room, but the man reached into the window and took one of their purses. The same night, around 9:30, like literally an hour later, a woman and her 12-year-old daughter were sitting in the car near the same takeout window. The man pointed the gun at the woman, got in the seat behind her, and he demanded that she start driving. The man instructed them not to look at his face, and he told a story of how his friend had left him behind at the robbery. And you'll see that a lot where, like, it's either he needs to meet up with a friend or his friend left him behind and he's going to give specific direct. It's just his MO. Like, his friend left him behind or he needs to meet a friend. He gives specific directions to an undisclosed location. Like, holds you at gunpoint. It's his MO.
Yeah.
And every single one of these. So he then demanded $20 from the woman, And turn this up if you have children. I'm gonna give you like 5 seconds. He sexually assaulted her 12-year-old daughter in the back seat of the car. I'm only rushing through that sentence because I don't want to think about it. He forced the woman to pull over behind a store where he ordered her and her daughter to get undressed. He then made the woman get out of the car and he sexually assaulted her as well. Then he told her to take him back to the restaurant where, so she, you know, drove him back. And then he demanded even more money. And then he used their clothing to wipe his fingerprints off the car. His fingerprints, saliva, any DNA. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he thought that would work because that's not how DNA works, but whatever.
Yeah. Sounds like a fucking idiot to me.
Oh, he is. 1,000%. 1,000%. And because he demanded more money, the woman had given him her coin purse before he got out of the car. But then he left the woman's purse that he stole at the drive-thru in her car.
My guy.
So you spoke too soon about him being a fucking idiot. Because it really, like...
Yeah. He's actually an imbecile. I'm correcting myself. He's an imbecile. I feel like that's
imbecile
worse than being just an idiot.
That's very true, actually. I agree with that. So, on November 3rd, so let's see, his cool-off period was about a month at this point, which still is not a long time. This guy had no cool-off period. On November 3rd, a lingerie shop called Cupid's Toy Box was robbed around 8 p.m. The perpetrator was described as a man with dreadlocks in a fisherman's hat, and he robbed the shop at gunpoint for $720.
All that for $700?
Yeah.
A toy shop? That's probably a small business, right?
It's a lingerie shop.
Oh, why did I think toy shop?
Because it's called Cupid's Toy Box.
Got it. You have the brain cell, not me. I thought he was going to some,
No, it's literally just because I have the notes in front of me.
That's so weird. What a freaking creep.
No, and this is where it gets worse, okay? So literally 10 minutes later, 10 minutes later, the same night, a woman was placing items in a parking lot donation receptacle. So you know So this woman's, like, donating shit, being a good person, and he's being the opposite. Because a fucking dude with a Halloween costume, it doesn't describe what the Halloween costume was, but he was wearing a Halloween costume and black plastic glasses, held her at gunpoint and demanded a ride. He made her pull over to a quiet neighborhood where he forced her to undress and sexually assaulted her. Then he ordered her to spit on her hand and rub it on the areas of her body that he had touched. To get rid of fingerprints.
Right. Disgusting human.
Yeah. After the assault, he demanded she drive him to the corner because he had committed a robbery shortly beforehand, took her purse, and left.
I'm, like, flabbergasted right now. That woman was such a good Samaritan. Good for her for wanting to donate.
I'm glad that
clothes.
She survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad all the people that survived did survive.
Right.
Because it could have gone a lot a lot worse.
Why can't this guy just be normal and get a taxi?
Or maybe just
stop doing this.
Not rob people or sexually assault people, or maybe own a gun at all.
We'll
see in part two why he should not have been able to do any of those things. Teehee.
Oh, interesting little teaser
for
the next episode.
So, at 8:08 p.m. on November 7th, so this was like 4 days later, four people were robbed at gunpoint outside of a Mexican restaurant. The perpetrator then went to Little Caesars next door and robbed three people inside. Was it the people inside or three? I think it was three. I didn't write how many it was. Okay. Immediately before robbing the people at Little Caesars, he robbed four people outside on the street. So he robbed, like, 11 people that day.
I'm sorry. I just, like, needed a minute to process that, because, like... Huh? Like, you stand outside the Little Caesars, you rob people, and then you go
into
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars.
What makes you think, I'm sorry that these people got robbed, but like, what makes you think that people who are dining at Little Caesars are going to have any kind of money? Like, why wouldn't you go to like a high end store? I don't understand.
Well, if it makes you feel better, between all 11 people, he was only able to steal $400, $463.
Yeah, that about checks out.
That adds up.
Yeah, that checks out.
That checks out. That means each person only had about, I don't know, I can't do math right now. My brain's like, dead. Each person only had like $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick maths. I used my calculator.
Quick maths. Oh, I didn't. Big Bwayne.
Which is like a normal amount of money to carry like in your purse or whatever.
Especially in the early 2000s. Like the only money that's in my wallet is the single dollar that Justin's grandmother sent me for a Halloween gift. Aww. And like, I don't mean to be laughing about the robberies because it's not funny, but it's just like, why Little Caesars?
Right. What
he robbed so many restaurants.
Right.
So many.
But they're not good restaurants. They're like fast food. That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know if it's just like that part of Arizona, like the Tempe baseline area. Baseline isn't a town. It's like the road. But it's like, was it just that? I'll have to ask Mike.
Yeah. What is it about the area that is just like...
Well, and then he robbed like one house that was next to a fucking McDonald's at one point. And I was like, because I looked up the address to kind of pinpoint where it was. The address didn't exist. It just, Google Maps took me to a McDonald's. So I'm like, either there was a house here or he robbed a McDonald's and it just didn't, but the McDonald's was a different address.
Right. Right.
I don't fucking know. I'm never going to Arizona. Oh, there was more. So those people that he robbed before he went into Little Caesars, he fired a round into the air as he like ran away. Because the people were like, we literally do not have money. And so some guy caught him, like, trying to rob them. And he went up to beat the shit out of him. And he just started firing rounds in the air and running away and, like, shooting at the guy.
That's a great way to be discreet.
It's like, and where are the cops?
Yeah, that's my...
This has been going on for months.
Yeah.
Well, the issue is that there was another, like, big serial killer going around. Well, they were two. Two like shooters in the area and that were working together and they were still trying to like figure out how anything was going together.
Right.
But still, it's like,
it's kind of your job.
You hear three fucking robberies in the same, like 12 people get robbed in the same vicinity and you're not doing your goddamn job. We'll find out why later.
Oh, wonderful.
Anyway, stay tuned for the next episode of Your Worst Nightmare, True Crime Paranormal with Addie and Audrey. That was my nice broadcaster voice slash voice I used to use at drive-thru when I worked at Starbucks. Okay, I'm, like, diverting because I just don't want to deal with this. It's really awful. This one's not good. On December 12th of 2005... Oh, this one fucking just ruined me. Okay, 39-year-old preschool teacher Tina Washington had just left work.
Preschool teacher.
She was a preschool teacher. Addie, it your heart is just gonna be in a fucking knot. I actually cried at this one. She had just left work and was walking to the bus station to take the bus home. Around 6:55 p.m., she had been shot in the head behind a fast food restaurant. A witness inside the restaurant, I believe he worked there, he had heard the gunshot. And when he went to investigate, he spotted a man with a gun drawn over Tina's body, who then shot at the witness. He called the police, and investigators found a misfired bullet that revealed a pattern that only the gun would make, like scuff marks on the bullet. They also discovered that the gold ring that Tina never took off, like her prized possession, was missing. The ring was given to her by her children, and it had "We Love Mommy" inscribed on the side.
Stop. No, that literally is going to make me cry. That's so sad. I'm choking up
like wicked bad right now. Yeah.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's what sucks is there's like no information on any of these people. Like, I know that Tina had kids, and that's it. Like,
and she was a preschool teacher, so you know that like,
she was a good person.
Yeah. Damn.
And, like, children never have money, so for them to all pitch in to buy her gold ring that says, "We love mommy," like, I'm devastated over that.
Like, just that information and, like, her being a teacher, like, shows that she probably really loved kids.
Exactly.
She probably really loved kids and was probably good at her job. And right. It's just heartbreaking because she did not deserve that whatsoever.
There's so much shit to edit out. I hate myself.
It's okay.
It's literally my life.
Yeah. It's okay.
All right, I got my coffee. I'm ready to keep going.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Oh, right. I left off at the thing that just ripped my heart into a million pieces. Yep. Okay. Yeah, we're going to move on from that so I don't have to cry.
Yeah.
So, on December 13th at 4 p.m., a woman was robbed in Phoenix. On February 21st, 2006, 38-year-old Romelia Vargas and 24-year-old Myrna Palma Roman were shot to death in their Grill King Express food truck between 5:30 and 7:30 a.m.
In their food
truck? Crack-o-dawn. Yeah. This, okay, the last one broke your heart, but this one will also, like, ruin your life. Mm-hmm. Another thing, I want to say, like, and I feel like I don't have the place to be saying it, but I kind of want your opinion on it. Almost all the people that were murdered were either of, like, Latin descent or Asian or Black.
Mm-hmm. People of color.
That's an easier way to say it. I was just thinking of, like, each individual race that was murdered throughout this entire thing. But, yeah, all people of color, excluding Georgia. Georgia was the only white victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about the sexual assault victims because they were left unnamed for, like, privacy reasons, which is fine. But I'm wondering partially if, like, the reason the police didn't care about it is because they were people of color.
I feel like that is not a false accusation. I feel like that definitely could be the case.
Okay. I don't want to piss anyone off. I feel like I don't have the right to speak on that, so I'm going to let you do that.
Well, I feel like to an extent, maybe I'd like have, I don't know. I mean, like, it's been shown time and time again that, like, the police don't care as much about people of color as they do, mm-hmm. like, white victims, which, like, if you disagree with that, then do some research. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
just listen to this episode and the next one because it'll come up again. But
right, like, there's a reason why racial profiling is a thing. Like, there's a reason why the entire Black Lives Matter movement is still, you know, going on. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's been proven time and time again that police officers do not care about people of color, and I don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. I wish they did, because there are so many Indigenous women who are missing, right. who deserve to have their stories told and who deserve to be found. But I'm sorry, this is like a tangent that, like, I did expect to go down.
It
but
deserves,
like,
to be heard.
It's, you know, it's really sad that these victims, like, we're giving kind of a space to recognize them and to tell a different part of their story, not just of their death, but, like, of the kind of life they might have lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know. I just wish that, like, our police force wasn't the way that it was sometimes. Anyway, not to get too down that path, because I can talk about this forever. But,
honestly, I don't think anyone listening is not on that path.
Yeah.
Based on who we are. Like, I think people who are on that path probably would have shut our podcast off, like, episodes and episodes ago.
Yeah. But long story short, I don't think that that's a false claim to make. I think that would...
It's, like, in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I was also wondering that because Georgia was the only white victim, and she was the only victim that I could find facts about her life and her history and who she was as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very upsetting for me to not be able to get to know who all these victims were.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a race thing or not, it still sucks. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want to ask that and, like, get your opinion on it, because I don't want to... Like I said, this is one of those cases where I need someone to talk about it with, because there's so many gray areas that I just don't know where to fall within all of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, they... Romelia Vargas and Myrna Palma Roman, sorry. They were found dead at 7:30 a.m. in their food truck. When their bodies were discovered, customers could smell food cooking, indicating that when they had died, they were getting ready for their work day at the time. So they were just, like, doing their regular day-to-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
The man that found their bodies was a regular customer who came by. He loved them. He loved buying food from them. They made wonderful food. He came by almost every day to get breakfast. And when he saw the amount of people waiting to be served, he got concerned because there were no people in the truck. And these were the only two women that, or the only two employees, basically. Yeah. And so...
It was their food
As far
truck.
As I know, yeah. And so for them to not be there was very strange, especially with the smell of food. Mm-hmm. So he kind of took it upon himself to do a little investigating. He kind of pushed himself up to see over the counter. And he found both women shot in a pool of their own blood.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good on this guy, though.
Yeah.
He probably knew them pretty well if he was getting breakfast every day there. Like,
yeah. And we'll see. Like, in the next, I have a quote from another customer, but pretty much everyone that went was a dedicated customer. Everyone that mm-hmm. went the first time always went back again.
Yep.
They were wonderful at what they did. They were wonderful people. And, you know, the next quote I'll read is, like, very telling of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, another regular customer described, quote, "They were the nicest girls. They never acted like they were doing a job. They really seemed happy doing what they were doing. It's a terrible shame."
Oh, that broke my heart.
Yeah. Like, no victim, no murder victim deserves to die at all. No. And I'm not saying that, but, like, when you come across, like, the rarity of coming across the tale of someone and, like, who they were, because you never come across that.
And, yeah.
And so, like, I think it just makes it all more real.
Yeah.
You know, all these people loved them and loved their food and loved what they did. It wasn't that they were just a loved one. They were loved by the community.
Yeah. And I'm sure their food brought people closer together, too.
Absolutely. You like, are probably waiting. It's like when you go to Starbucks or Dunkin's, like, you're in the line with the same people constantly.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting coffee on their way to their work.
Yeah.
Everyone's probably getting their, like, breakfast on the way to work at this food truck. I mean, yeah. It was just, like, they had their own little community, and that's what made it so wonderful. And it just all got... It didn't, you know... It got taken away from them because they were murdered, obviously, but it also got taken away from the community.
The community, yeah.
And I'm sure, honestly, that it, like, brought a lot of people together as well, kind of to support each other, but I'm not trying to excuse it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to, like, not be so pessimistic, but it's very difficult in this.
Yeah.
In this case. So a little bit about Romelia and Myrna. I couldn't find much. I tried to find a grave. Literally, Georgia was the only one who had a grave uploaded on the website, any ancestry information, like, no one had anything. So all I have is that Romelia was a wonderful wife and a mother to six children.
Wow.
And Myrna wasn't married, but between herself and her boyfriend, they had five children. So I don't know if they were both from, like, previous relationships, all their kids were from previous relationships, or if they had the kids together, but either way, she had five children.
Wow, so they're both mothers.
Yes.
Mothers to a lot of kids.
Mothers to a lot of kids, and wives, and girlfriends, and that's everything that I am going to say for part one. Because part two, well, one, I think we just need a break. Well, we don't get a break. They get a break from the sadness. We don't. Because we still have another whole episode to record right after this, so. Should I just jump into the end spiel? Get this shit over with so y'all can go get some therapy, maybe. You can follow us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. We're now on Twitter, and we lied last time. It is Nightmare TCP because we weren't allowed to use Your Worst Nightmare TCP. So
it
on
was
Twitter,
too many characters for some reason, so I had to cut it down.
So we just, it's just Nightmare TCP. I did lie about Mike's Twitter. I think it's Extreme 13 Podcast. So the letter X, stream, extreme without the E, the number 13 Podcast. So that's his Twitter. I got that wrong last time. I apologize. And then Gmail, yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com. You can join Kenzie and become a Patreon donor at patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp. All of our show notes are up there. All the notes that I've taken for episodes are up there. You'll get early access to episodes. I am currently in the process of designing some merch stuff. And with Patreon, you can, like, there's an option for creators to send out merchandise every couple of months. So because Patreon is only $5, I've deleted all tiers. It's only $5 a month. You'll be getting, hopefully, once, like, all the designs are done, I'm going to try to put everything on stickers. And then once every couple of months, you guys will get a sticker or two. So, we'll see about that.
That sounds like an amazing deal.
I think so, for only $5. And then what else? Like, Addie and I could do live streams.
Yeah, I think, like, so the way I view it is Patreon could be a great way. If you really, really enjoy the podcast, you want to help support us in a different way, you want to kind of get to know us a little bit better.
Better way, like, to that connect can with be, us.
Right. Like, yep. Not that you can't connect with us any other way. Like, obviously, reach out on social media, please. Like, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
But if you feel especially connected to this podcast in a way and you want to help support us, you know, financially, Patreon's a great way, and we can give you some extra content there, you know, that's kind of behind the scenes, I guess.
Honestly, for me, I get more excited, like, and I know it's the same for you too, but for just to see that someone loves our content so much that they're donating money to us, it's so exciting to see, like, that name and to recognize the person that loves us enough to send us $5 a month. Like, that means the world to me, just knowing that there's someone out there that loves our content so much. That means more than the money to me. So, yeah. I don't know. I just want to say that, but I think that's everything I'm going to cover for today. And I'm going to come back with part two next week to break your heart. And then the week after, I will already be back in the New Hampshire, but I will be recording with Addie while I'm there. So we'll be listening to her story in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And with that, I will see you next Saturday. All right.
Bye. Have a great week. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Have a great week. Wait, is it Thanksgiving yet? No. No.
Thanksgiving will be in 2 weeks, I believe. Actually, 3 weeks.
Okay, Thanksgiving is not in 4 days, so never mind. Just ignore me. Okay, bye. I love you. Bye.
Bye.